Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
That's the car.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're in a car listening to this, and Rachel and I are...
And this is car talk.
This is car talk. Carburetors. Spark plugs.
Yes.
Windshield.
Fluid.
This is... We're in a car, and we're like driving. It's like a Max Fun Drive thing. Like when you're driving.
Transmission. Did we say transmission?
We didn't, but I'm so glad.
Thank you.
Fans always get it.
I got one in.
When we forget transmission. It's the Max Fun Drive. If you're new to the show, every year, once a year, we come to you, hat in hand and open guitar case on the floor.
Yeah.
Busking for you all day on the streets. Asking for your support. We are a pledge supported show, as is the whole of the Max Fun Network, and we have been proud to be members of this network for my brother and me. This is our 14th year doing
which
is absolutely wild. And obviously, this is not our first time at the rodeo either.
Yeah.
We are so excited. We've been preparing for this drive for a long time. We got some exciting stuff for you, but brass tacks. Oh, there is a helicopter going overhead. I thought we could get some nice bird foley, but I forgot that Joe Biden likes to just buzz our house every 10 minutes.
And we know
or so.
It's him because he like leans out the side and says, "Hey, Griffin, Rachel."
Yeah, he shouts at us like that. Should we close the door, do you think? It smells so good outside. People don't tell you that about cherry blossoms. They look great. They smell so good.
I can't smell anything.
Oh, yeah.
The allergy situation is always challenging for us in this house.
It's not ideal.
But the spirit of Max Fun Drive.
It's getting us all through.
Will give me the power I need.
Yes. So if you go to MaximumFun.org/join, you're going to get a list of shows, and you get to pick the ones that you listen to, the ones that you want your contribution to go to in a very direct way. At just $5 a month, you get access to hundreds of hours of bonus content.
Yeah, it says over 600 hours.
Yes, from all the shows throughout all of history, right? It is so much stuff. Here at Wonderful, we have a lot of things. I believe, was it last year that we did Dharma and Greg Watch?
Yeah, I think so.
We've done a series where you played Animal Crossing and talked about it. Stardew Valley and talked about it.
Yeah.
I made my
own D&D character.
Rachel made her own D&D character for a bonus episode. It's all really, really good stuff. Do you want to tell them? This is huge. This is maybe the thing I'm most excited for in the whole drive. Do you want to tell folks what we did for our bonus episode this year?
Well, our listeners that are here for the right reasons.
Yes.
Will know that we used to do a show called Rose Buddies.
Uh-huh.
Where we talked about The Bachelor and Bachelorette and other reality dating competition shows.
Yes.
This year, for the pledge drive, we have watched the first
five episodes.
The first five episodes of this current season of The Bachelor. And we recapped them.
Yes.
In one episode.
It was
in our old-fashioned, old-style way of...
I don't think we missed a beat. I did feel like going back to your high school or maybe even middle school.
Exactly.
Being like, wow, the doors are so small. Like, everything looks familiar, but I feel so much bigger.
There is a fair number of things that have changed. And part of the reason we decided to do it is that this season... got a pretty good Bachelor.
Yeah, great Bachelor. Great.
And we enjoyed watching it and talking about it.
Yes. We missed it a lot. The sentiment by the end of the episode was like, oh boy.
Griffin
tracked
down our old theme song.
Yes, which is so awful. But if you miss Rose Buddies, that's our BOCO for this year.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy that and all the other bonus content at MaximumFun.org/join at just $5 a month. We have other levels too that we're going to talk about, but seriously, Rachel and I are able to do this show and prioritize it in the way that we have and keep it going for as long as we have because of the support that you have shown us year in, year out. And we are incredibly grateful to you for that. We've mentioned this on some other shows. The podcast advertising market has... bottomed out in a lot of ways. It hasn't done so great. We have weeks on this show where we just don't have anything. And so more than ever, we are relying on, listeners to help us keep this thing afloat and growing. And you can do that by going to MaximumFun.org/join. If you're sitting at a screen now and you're thinking about it and you're able, do it now before you know, let it slip, because we only do this for a couple weeks and then, you know, we're back on our grind. So we sure do appreciate you. Do you have a small wonder? I can go first.
Yeah, please do.
Last night I went to a concert like a cool guy.
Oh, you did?
Like a cool adult man, I went to a concert. It was Hannah Diamond, recent talking point here on Wonderful, who performed at the Atlantis, which is part of the 930 Club sort of venue complex, and it was a great show. Met a couple of fans who were there, which is always very, very exciting, and just had a great time. Just tripping the light, fantastic.
Drank two beers.
I drank two beers. I feel like absolute dog shit this morning. That's all it takes. Two beers will kill me. But yeah, it was a really good time. A really good show. It's like the second concert I've been to in like 3 months, which is fucking
huge.
That is
huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you got one?
I do. This was almost my sole topic. And
oh,
then
shit.
I decided it's the Max Fun Drive. I probably shouldn't make this a large wonder. So small wonder. The fact that kids like knocking over towers.
Knocking over towers is huge for kids.
I sometimes at the end of the day, I know that our children have more energy, and we've talked about a lot of the ways that we engage them. But yesterday I realized that if I just made a big tower, that both boys would be excited about knocking it over.
Yes.
And that, I mean, what is great about that, I mean, obviously it's a pain to restack, but they will do it for a while.
Yeah.
And it's easy, and I love that they love it.
And sometimes it falls over on them, and it's like soft block, so it doesn't hurt, yeah. But it's like fun. It's like kind of
sometimes
fun.
It knocks everything off of a table.
Yeah.
But again, easy activity.
Easy
and
activity.
They always
kids.
Love it.
They love this stuff. I go first this week.
Okay.
I am going to talk about a hockey thing, and I know that there's probably a group of our a portion of our audience who, when they hear us talk about a hockey thing, their eyes glaze over.
Should we say what hockey is?
So ice, it's like ice fast shoot. There's scoring and hitting. There's so much hitting.
Let's say basketball.
Yes,
the ball was only by the feet.
So small, the
and
ball.
They used the sticks.
So slippery,
and the hoop was on the ground.
And hitting is great.
And somebody always guarded the hoop.
Yes.
And then, yeah, that's about all you need to know.
Not much jumping.
No, not jumping. Skating.
Skating, though, yeah. For sure. I am going to talk about something that I think it has crossover appeal. I think it's an amazing story about the internet and kind of bullying and the triumph of the human spirit. I want to talk about John Scott, the unlikely hero of the 2015-2016 season NHL All-Star Game. I'm pretty sure this is a story that you are familiar with, or at least you will be once I start going into it.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell right away. I did not long ago talk about the whole All-Star phenomenon.
You talked about the All-Star phenomenon,
but I do not remember
this. Competition. This was like the year before I feel like you and I started watching like every Blues game.
Yeah.
But we were watching some of them, and so I remembered hearing about it back when it happened. Radiolab did a really incredible episode about John Scott called The Punchline that came out in 2019, which if you find this interesting, they go into much, much, much more detail about it. So here's the setup. It's the 2015-2016 season, and the NHL decides to change the format for the All-Star Game, which they do basically every season. The All-Star Game is kind of a joke. It's kind of like no one really takes it particularly seriously, which is pretty much the case for every sport. Like the All-Star Game is just kind of a...
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to not play too hard because you don't want to get injured.
Exactly, right? So the NHL changes the format. They decide that they're going to do 3-on-3 hockey between four teams for each of the four divisions, the Pacific, Atlantic, Metropolitan, and the other one that I can't remember.
I think Eastern,
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
They also make the somewhat ill-advised decision to allow fans to vote for the captains of each of the four teams, which is not also like completely unheard of, but restricting it to just be like the captains of the teams. Between those two changes, like diehard hockey fans, like it caught their ire. There was a podcast and a pundit who goes by the name Puck Daddy whose name I don't know for real, but Puck Daddy shall be his moniker moving forward. He was on this podcast where he was discussing these changes with someone else, and he had this idea. What if everyone voted in a player who had no business being there to embarrass the league, right? To embarrass the league for making this
decision. This is like when everybody gets to name like a bridge and they give it a silly name.
This is Bodie McBoatface, like,
yeah.
Exactly. It's exactly that, except for boats aren't real. And well, okay, boats are real.
Wait, hold on.
This is a big position that I'm taking. Boats are not, there's no.
Science is still unsure if boats are real.
Boats aren't people. People are people, right? And so like Bodie McBoatface isn't like, aw, they picked a weird name for me, right?
All the other boats are going to make fun of me.
Right. So on this podcast, Puck Daddy and I guess the co-host on the show, they were trying to figure out like who would be a good person to put up, and who they settled on as like the unanimous choice was an enforcer for the Arizona Coyotes, just an infamous, just tough guy. In hockey, they are sometimes referred to as goons. A goon named John Scott. John Scott, big fella, very pugnacious, was responsible for a few like line brawls that made headlines, but not like a great player. In the 2015-2016 season, he had a total of 11 points, which is not very good. That's a combination of assists and goals.
Yeah, I was going to say, points in hockey aren't just goals. It's just like, if you happen to be on the ice when a goal is scored, you will get
points. Will get a point, usually, yes. So, like, it's a joke, right? Like, what if we did this? What if we got this enforcer in there as the captain of one of these all-star teams to embarrass the league and to kind of, like, push back against this system that people were kind of annoyed with, right? This gag got some traction, got a lot of traction. A lot of people start to vote for John Scott to be the captain. He played for the Arizona Coyotes, and so for the Pacific League, people wanted him to be the captain. It started to get so much traction that the NHL and, like, the Coyotes management told John, like, you need to put out a statement telling people not to do this. And so, like, he had mixed feelings about it. He was going through some sort of, like, intense family stuff. His wife was 9 months pregnant with twins. They already had two kids. Like, he had a lot of stuff. And he was towards the end of his career, right? He was getting up there in age and not, like, a superstar. And so, like, you know, things were tough for John. He kind of wanted to do it, right? He put out statements later saying, like, I think it is cool and important to represent a certain type of player who I am, which is kind of a fossil at this point. Like, there aren't a lot of people. The salary cap for teams is so tight now that you don't really have space for just, like, a fighting dude, right? And so, like, his role is disappearing, and he thought, hey, it's kind of cool for me to represent that in the All-Star game. But he did. He put out a statement saying, like, you know, I am flattered and I am humbled, but please just, like, vote for my teammates. Don't vote for me. And people did not listen to him and kept on voting for him. And he won the vote. He was named the captain for the Pacific division, and he would lead up this team for this 3-on-3 tournament. In January, before the game, he was traded to the Montreal Canadiens, who immediately put him in their minor league team. In their, like, development team. And in so doing, they made John Scott ineligible to play in the All-Star game.
Oh.
You can't play in the All-Star game if you're not in the NHL.
Yeah, of course.
And folks went batshit. Like, people got really, really angry.
Yeah.
Partially because, like, mostly they were accusing the league of sort of, like, conspiratorially,
yeah,
like, moving this dude so that he could not embarrass the league in the All-Star game. But in so doing, also, like, kind of destroying this man's, like, career and sort of life, because now he's like, hey, babe, I know that you are pregnant with twins at 9 months, but I have to move to fucking Newfoundland on the other side of the continent. And it'll be a couple months until I see you again. So all of a sudden, like, there's a lot of anger going around. The fans are angry at the league. The, like, longtime pundits are angry at the fans for, you know, bullying this dude with this vote that he probably shouldn't have been winning in the first place as a joke against the league. And the, you know, because of that, now he has been demoted and sent across the country and all of this bad stuff. There are a lot of bad vibes going around, but the fans didn't relent. And eventually, like, the NHL had no choice but to let him back in. So they eventually, a few days after the trade and the demotion, they announced that he would be able to keep his position. He would be able to stay as the captain for the Pacific Division in the All-Star Game, okay? All-Star Game rolls around. Everyone expects him to kind of embarrass himself, right? He asks the coach, like, just sit me on the bench. Like, if you put me in, just, like, put me in for a little bit, that's fine. He does not start the game as the captain, which is wild.
Yeah.
26 seconds into the game, they get scored on. They're down 1-0. So the coach is like, okay, now I'm going to put you in. They put John Scott in. And he goes fucking ape. Really quickly, he has this, like, beautiful open net, like, chance and shoots and misses, but gets this freak bounce off the goalie to get it in. And
oh, the crowd, my God,
loses their mind. Standing ovation. Yeah. Like, everybody screaming, chanting his name. The energy of this game is so good, partially because it's like 3-on-3 all-star game hockey. It is essentially the same vibe as, like, just a pickup game of basketball, of just, like, folks kind of goofing around a little bit. But he scores and people lose their mind. At one point, he fucking lays out Patrick Kane, delivers this gnarly hit on Patrick Kane, who I believe was an all-star for the Blackhawks at that point, just, like, lays him out, which doesn't happen at the all-star game.
Again,
no
yes.
one hits at the all-star game. No. So, like, people are cheering, losing their mind. After that happens, Patrick Kane gets up and, like, drops his gloves, and they have, like, a fake mock like fight, just, like, kind of laughing and just kind of, like,
so
shadow boxing around each other. Yeah. And everybody's, like, cracking up, laughing, losing their mind. Towards the end of the game, they're up by one. He scores again. Two goals in this otherwise pretty short 3-on-3 hockey game.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
I know. And the crowd just, like, loses it. Like, it is, I've never heard anything like it.
Oh, I love
going
that.
Back and watching it.
Rudy,
watching this game.
Rudy.
Huge Rudy vibes. So they win. The Pacific team moves on to the finals, which they eventually won. They won the whole thing. John Scott's team wins the whole tournament, winning $1 million check for them to split amongst themselves.
Oh, wow.
Which is huge. That's not it, though. They also do an MVP vote at the end of the game.
Yeah.
They put names up on the Jumbotron, and everyone can, like, text in their votes or tweet in their votes for who should win. They put a list of names up on the Jumbotron. John Scott's not on there, and people start losing it, just like booing and screaming and chanting John Scott's name. So everybody starts texting in write-in votes for
John Scott.
Players on other teams start, like, tweeting, like, MVP John Scott, like, got to be. Official Twitter accounts for other teams are like, yeah, we got to give this one to John Scott. So, like, fucking everyone comes together. The push for John Scott is so, like, instantaneous and overwhelming that he wins the MVP prize, which I believe it was sponsored by Honda. So he does win a new car for his efforts. And, like, it really is Rudy level. Like, his team skates onto the ice, lifts them up on his shoulders, which takes some doing.
Yeah, that's scary.
He is a giant. His wife comes out onto the ice. They have, like, this beautiful kiss as, like, the crowd is just
delivers,
like,
her baby,
delivers her twin babies right there. And it is just this incredible moment for everyone involved. Right? It has to be. I mean, it's obviously the greatest imaginable sporting moment for John Scott, right? Like, as John Scott, you're there, and that's exciting for you. The people who voted in John Scott, I imagine there was a long period of time where they get worried, like, oh, shit, did we ruin this guy's life? And, you know, was this joke that we were doing, which was supposed to be at the expense of the NHL, is it actually going to be at the expense of this dude, of this actual person who's going to get out on the ice and embarrass himself and have, like, a horrible time, probably at the end of his career? Like, are we going to make this man a laughing stock? No, he kicks ass.
Yeah.
And plays all-star hockey in a way that, like, no one really had up to that point.
And then he became a property brother.
And then he became property, the secret fourth property brother. No, he actually, that December, he retires. He retired from hockey.
Yeah, of course.
He's like, what the fuck else could you possibly do? And he's like written books about it, and he's done like a couple podcasts about it. And like I said, Radiolab did this whole episode on him.
I was not familiar with this story.
I remembered hearing about it because I remembered I think it came around the same time as Bodie McBoatface. And so it started this whole conversation about like when you give the internet this much power over an actual person's kind of like destiny, that is never a recipe for success. And I would say 9 times out of 10, yeah, that's probably true. 99 times out of 100, yeah, that's probably true. But this one dude who was not a superstar, like put on a fucking superstar performance with his back up against the wall. And I encourage you to like watch clips from this game because he has a huge smile on his face the whole time.
I love each
goal, just like he is like so emotional. Everyone is so emotional. It is an incredible story that I can't believe hasn't been made into like several, you know, Disney movies at this point.
Hockey.
But it is hockey, I guess, at the end of the day. No one really watches it, but you should watch this one because it's a great story. Hey, let's talk about The Drive.
Yes.
Let's dip in here for a minute. We have some other levels that if you decide to support us at, you can get some awesome gifts. We talked about it, $5 a month. You can get the bonus content. There's just over 600 hours of stuff there for you. At $10 a month, you're going to get the bonus content. You're going to get a Letterpress Max Fun membership card and your choice of one of 40 enamel pins from each of the shows on the network.
Yes.
The pin for Wonderful is so good. These were designed by Marette Bondaroux. Do you want to tell them do you remember what the Wonderful pin is?
I do. So it is actually a little kind of cartoon of me and Griffin, but it is in the style of Stardew Valley.
Yeah, so they look like Stardew Valley characters. And you could have that as a pin on your shit.
And can I say something?
Yeah.
Let's say you and your partner both have brown hair and the male has glasses. Guess what? This could be a pin of
now
you two.
Now it's you.
Now it's you guys.
Now it's you. At $20 a month, you get all that stuff we've already talked about. There's also your choice of a fancy Max Fun rocket ship bucket hat or a Games on the Go kit, which is a bandana that you can turn into a chessboard.
I love this. This has such beachy vibes, you know?
It has huge beachy vibes. And then at $35 a month, if you want to go that far for us, first of all, holy shit, thank you.
Yeah, incredible.
Second of all, you can get the maximum bag. This is the biggest bag I've ever seen in my entire life. It's a tote bag.
Yeah.
But it's a tote.
I could fit in this bag.
If John Scott had a tote bag, it would be this tote bag.
It's 27 by 35 inches.
It is absolutely outrageously, exorbitantly large. Listen, we get messages from people like, hey, sorry, I can only chip in $5 a month this year. That's amazing. That is huge.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, the content is free. And that's a big point of pride, I think, for all of us.
Sure.
There's no paywall. You can listen to this. Anybody can listen to this. But obviously, that's not a sustainable business model for us as people.
No, not at all.
So we are really grateful for those of you that recognize, like, this is important. I have the extra funds. I'm going to contribute because I want this to continue to be free for other people.
Yeah. So if you go to MaximumFun.org/join, again, you pick the shows that you directly want to support with your membership. You pick the donation level that works for you. If you're a new member, you can come in at whatever level you want. You can upgrade your membership if you're already, say you're $5 a month member and you want to bump it up to 10. You can do that and you'll get all the rewards for $10 and below. Or if you don't want to jump all the way up to another membership level, you can just boost it. Maybe kick it up a couple bucks or so. You can gift memberships. You can also, new this year, you can pay up front, right? So that $5 membership level, you can pay, for the whole year if you don't want to like worry about a recurring charge. I totally understand that, and that's an option too. All of that's over at MaximumFun.org/join. We could use the help this year. I try not to be quite as like hat in hand about it, but there are certain parts of this this whole industry that are not doing good at all, and so we have definitely felt the squeeze over the past couple of years or so. And I just ask if this show and the stuff that we make if you get some enjoyment out of it, if it means something to you, you can keep it going. You can support it in an incredibly direct way, support us in an incredibly direct way by going to MaximumFun.org/join and choosing the membership level that that fits into your life. And we appreciate you more than we could ever say. So thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Do you want to do your
topic? Yes. Okay, my topic this week.
Yes.
Is going to be a little unfamiliar to you.
Okay.
But I think it is widespread enough that you will be able to participate.
Okay, cool. And I mean, I made you listen to talk about so many Japanese role-playing games. You are owed like 20 of these.
But everybody's talking about Japanese role-playing games.
I mean,
so yeah. It's like now I can talk to somebody at the grocery store.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody at the gas station.
The cashier is like, did you check out Final Fantasy 16?
And I'll be like, no, but I have enough information about it that I could say something.
Head. Yeah.
I'm talking about the college dormitory.
Okay. If you say so, my man. if you insist. I never had a great dorm. I never lived in a dorm.
But you went to some.
I went to dorms, yes. I visited dorms, and it was never like an amazing experience.
Yeah, I mean, kind of gross. Objectively kind of gross for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But I will say, as a college freshman, huge for me.
Yeah,
I bet. And then I believe when I was there, Mizzou only required your first year to be in the dorms. A lot of people did 2 years, and then pretty much after that, everybody was gone.
Okay.
But it was huge for me because I don't think I was fully prepared for that first year. I went to a huge state school, and you know, it was obviously my first time kind of living as a quote-unquote adult.
Yeah.
And it gave me an opportunity to meet people and to have proximity to all of my classes.
Yeah.
Some of which I literally would leave my dorm room 5 minutes before the class started.
That was always the sense I got from dorm. I feel like I always knew, I never lived in the dorms. And so when I would show up to class and people would be, you know, in their
pajamas
basically, I would be like, oh, okay. I was jealous of that for sure. Cause I had to get in a car and drive for like 8 minutes.
I will talk specifically about like a pivotal moment for me in dorm living. But I wanted to kind of talk about how they became a lot of what people associate with the dorm.
Okay.
When I talk about like kind of a typical dorm, I'm talking about like a high rise building.
Yes.
I'm talking about like multi-story, long hallways, multiple rooms, sometimes a one or two bathrooms per floor, sometimes like the suite style bathroom, usually like cement block, no carpeting, that kind of dorm.
Right.
And a lot of that came about because at the end of World War II.
Whoa, not expecting that.
The GI Bill was started. So what happened was, while World War II was still going on, Department of Labor estimated that when the war ended, 15 million men and women who had been serving would be unemployed, which obviously would lead to a huge, like, epic depression that the country was not prepared for.
Right.
Just widespread unemployment. And so a White House agency that studied post-war manpower needs as early as 1942 recommended a series of programs for education and training. So the GI Bill was federal aid to help veterans adjust to civilian life in the areas of hospitalization for veterans, in the areas of hospitalization, so they could purchase homes and businesses, and especially education. This act provided tuition, subsistence, books and supplies, equipment, and counseling service for veterans to continue their education.
So fucking wild.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Yeah.
That they could do, that the government could do, that could functionally
create. This was
and
Franklin Roosevelt in 1944. And obviously, this was enormous.
Just the thought of that happening at a level that could provide material sort of change and support to that many people is like truly astonishing, I feel like, given the landscape of today.
I know, it's hard to imagine anything like that now. The GI Bill resulted in a near doubling of the number of college students in the decade after 1945.
Wild.
It is estimated that within the following 7 years, approximately 8 million veterans received educational benefits, and approximately 2.3 million attended colleges and universities. Whew. So... housing
had, became an issue. Yes, I imagine.
Had to fundamentally change. There was not enough space for all of these new college students, which led to the growth of the modernist high-rises that I am talking about.
Yeah,
high-rise dormitories also appeared outside of urban areas, such as the Morrill and Lincoln Towers at Ohio State, which were completed in 1965 and had room for more than 3,800 students.
Good Lord.
So at the time, super lean housing, we're talking about communal bathrooms and showers shared by 20 to 30 students.
Yowza!
Not really a lot in terms of comfort. I mean, there would maybe be like a common area. But, you know, now you're seeing more like high-end style dormitories.
Yeah.
You know, like we're talking a swimming pool. We're talking on top of retail establishments. When I was in the dorm, my first dorm did not have wireless internet. And this was in the age of like Napster, you know, LimeWire.
Yeah.
Like everybody's trying to download songs and it would take me hours.
Yeah,
literally. Sure. Now I will say my second year I moved to a different dorm which did have the wireless internet.
Yeah.
Or I guess it wasn't even wireless internet, right?
Probably not
it was,
wireless, yeah.
What was it? What was it called? I don't even remember. You plugged
like
in
an Ethernet connection.
Ethernet. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. See, this is how long it's been.
You're such a Gen Z that like this old stuff doesn't even ring a bell.
I know. So I will say that there are benefits. There's a lot of reasons that universities ask that their first year students live on campus. First, it like eliminates some of the things that if you were living independently, you would have to deal with, like monthly bills,
privacy.
Leases. In some cases, you know, purchasing your own food.
Right.
A lot of these dormitories have like
meal
dining hall
yeah.
kind of situation. Also, you have residential staff, which can help connect you to what you need while you're there. So this is what was a big deal for me my freshman year is when I met my friend Nicole, who
yeah.
I told you about. She was the RA on my floor.
Okay.
And I decided... to live in an all-female dorm my freshman year. I don't really recall why. it was difficult for me to kind of make friends. But Nicole, like posters, music, it was just very clear. We had a lot of similar interests. She like poked her head in because I was like reading a book that
you both
had
loved
wanted to
posters.
Read.
You both loved music.
Here's the thing, though. She also... loved Rushmore. She okay. also loved Christopher Guest. She was a huge Radiohead fan.
That's all you need. Those three things tell me everything I need to know about
her. She took the same art history class that I was taking.
Beautiful.
She worked at a movie theater. And so she was very cool and honestly was maybe one of the only friends I made in that dorm.
Yeah.
That year.
Sure.
And at the end of my senior year, I went to her wedding. And I still keep in touch with her. And my freshman year was rough. I mean, in a lot of ways, I had one very unfortunate roommate my first semester who basically forced me out of our room. Again, did not make a lot of friends in that dorm. So having access to her, like, it was huge
yeah.
for me. Also, in a dorm freshman year, they have what is called living learning communities. I was part of what they call the freshman interest group. Mine was women in leadership.
Awesome.
Which again, I thought this is going to be great. I'm going to meet a lot of other powerful, you know, women looking to take over the world. That was not my experience, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I will say that there is research to say that living learning community participants were up to 3 times more likely than other campus residents to meet with faculty, attend class, see an advisor. It's just, it's access to resources. It's the motivation to kind of stay enrolled.
Yeah. It's an accountability thing, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, and it's also like a shopping mall of friends, in a way. Yeah. Like, I personally did not have a great experience with my roommate, but I will say my sophomore year when I moved to a different dorm, it was just kind of incredible to me that there was like 7 floors of people who were all approximately my age, all enrolled at the same university. It's kind of incredible,
sure,
to think about, like, as an adult now.
The opposite of our sort of society, like, social experience.
People talk about how hard it is to make friends as an adult, and it is because, in a lot of ways, you do not have regular access to people who have a similar interest and a similar age to you.
We don't live in a building with 3,600 other adults.
No. And, yes, I am grateful for that.
Yes.
But it has made it more difficult to form adult relationships.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, again, a lot of problems with dorm living. I would not do it again as an adult, but I'm glad that I did it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an interesting phenomenon in a lot of ways, like a rite of passage for a lot of people who
go to school. I feel like I missed out on a certain like chapter of, you know, certainly the college experience by not living in a dorm.
Yeah.
Whenever I would visit dorms, I would always think like, I used the bathroom once at one friend's dorm and was like, no fucking way, dude.
I remember when we moved into the dorm, we got like a little list of things to buy, one of which was a shower caddy, which I didn't even know what it was.
Sure.
I remember like trying to figure out like, well, why would you need a shower caddy?
Yeah.
Why would you need a bathrobe? And the idea was that you were going to walk from your room down to this communal shower.
Yeah.
So you needed to carry all your like shampoo and stuff, and you needed to cover your body. It was
no thanks.
Fascinating. Yeah. I also bought a trunk, which was a thing, again, I think was like a holdover from
World War
II. Yeah. So I remember like trying to figure out where does one buy a trunk and why exactly do I need a trunk?
Yeah.
Later realized could have just had a big suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
But trunk.
It's great.
Seemed like a thing.
A little treasure chest.
Yeah. Speaking of treasure chest,
we're going to talk one last time about the drive for this week. MaximumFun.org/join is the link. I mean, we've told you everything that there is kind of to say about it, but we really could use your support this year as the market shifts away from advertising and podcasts. We really, really could use your help. If you can go to that link and kick in just $5 a month.
Do you want to talk about any of the other fun stuff that you did with your brothers and or dad?
Sure. So on Mabim Bam, we had an episode that got way out of control where we invented a 9-level rave that took place in the basement of a container store called Plato's Rave.
Yes.
So we did, on Mabim Bam for the bonus episode, we made a one-shot role-playing game out of Plato's Rave. And then for Adventure Zone, me, Justin, and Travis all simultaneously DM'd that experience for our dad, who had no idea what the fuck we were talking about the whole time, which was a true delight. We also have like, you know, streams and stuff that we've been getting ready for the drive, to be doing some DJ sets, Infuser, which I'm very excited about. We have grown dramatically over, especially the last few years. We've been able to hire people like Rachel, our editor on this and all of our shows.
Yeah. Griffin used to stay up until like midnight, 1 a.m. sometimes, just scrambling to get everything edited.
Yes.
And now he doesn't have to do that, which is great because we have 2 kids.
Yes.
And we're hardly sleeping already.
Yes, exactly. But we've been able to like do more video stuff because we hired a video editor and producer.
Yeah.
And more live stream stuff. Like, we have been able to do more stuff and make our work like a bigger part of our lives, and that is only because of the support that we've gotten in Max Fun Drives past.
Oh, so, my gosh, and touring too.
And touring
not
also.
Not to forget touring. You guys tour so much more than you used to.
We do tour. Well, yes. We do tour so much more.
The early years.
Things have slowed down, I would say.
There were some unexpected circumstances that maybe changed that,
yes,
a little.
Post COVID, like, our touring just hasn't gotten back up to what it was, which is honestly another
kind of reason.
Financial,
yeah,
consideration that is weighing heavy on us. So, again, MaximumFun.org/join. You pick the shows you want to support, and that support goes I mean, a long, 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 long way. I cannot stress enough that if you like the stuff we make and, you know, the community we, you know, attempt to kind of cultivate, you are the sole kind of engine behind that with your support in the Max Fund Drive. So please consider going to MaximumFun.org/join. Help us out. Get some great rewards. Get a bunch of bonus content. And, you know, feel great about the fact that you are helping put this stuff and stuff like it out into the world, because that is exactly what you are doing. Thank you so much. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And, of course, as always, thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. That's it. We'll be back next week. Apologies for missing last week. I know that's not a great look before the drive kicks off. A
lot of stuff going on.
A lot of pretty heavy shit happening.
Yeah, and we all thank our community just for being so supportive.
Yes.
It means everything.
Yes, thank you so much. And we'll be back next week. So, till then.
What we always say.
What we always say. Have a great summer. Love you like a sister. I signed you for your crack.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.